Hi, it's Joe Casey from the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. When you're planning for retirement, it's easy to forget that you also need to plan for getting older. We've had the privilege over the last four seasons to talk with some of the leading experts in the world on strategies for successful aging. First up, from season one, we spoke with Alan Castell of UCLA.
Creativity is one of those things that can change as we get older, and we actually might be more creative as we get older, whether it's taking up a new hobby, playing a new musical instrument, or just approaching problems in ways that we hadn't thought of before. And I use this example in my book that the pilot who landed the plane on the Hudson River, he'd never landed a plane on a Hudson River before. And so he's forced to use a form of creativity that doesn't just get better with age because you've done it many times. He had to understand some of the principles that were involved, adapt very quickly, and then carry out something that no one had ever done before. And using prior experiences, none of which were exactly the same, he was able to do this. And I think as we get older, creativity can blossom and get better. And in many ways, our jobs provide that. We can look at questions and think of them in different ways. We can sometimes take on different jobs. A lot of people now retire and then take up a part-time job or a job that they're more interested in, or they serve as a consultant. And that can be very stimulating because now you're applying your knowledge set to a slightly different domain, and that use of creativity can be really rewarding.
And in season two, we went to a person who has a long affiliation with another Southern California school, USC. We had the privilege of speaking with Helen Dennis. Helen is a nationally recognized expert on aging, employment, and retirement. And notably, she writes an excellent weekly column in the Southern California newspaper group called Successful Aging.
We have a lot of environmental influences that can creep into our joy. And I love the definition of joy is the feeling of grinning inside. I think this can be somewhat intentional. I mean, there are a lot of complexities of life, and people go through their own struggles, and you say, okay, this is a joyful time of your life. I think it's intentional. I think it makes the assumption that people in mid to later life have the capacity for joy. Joy is not a word that is usually associated with aging, and you don't usually hear joy and retirement. So it's trying to shake that image paradigm a little bit to say this has the potential to be the most joyful period of our lives. And when people are looking for joy, you say, all right, how do I make myself joyful? If you don't know what makes you joyful, I think you have, I would say, experiment. Feel free. Have an absolutely open agenda. Again, talk to other people. Observe what they are doing. And take a few risks. If you've never taken an art class and you think, oh, it looks interesting, take a risk. You don't have to be an artist. So be a risk taker if you can't find what brings you joy. And on the other hand, take some stock on what actually brings you joy every day, and maybe you want more of it. I mean, if you've been only able to hike, you know, once a month, well, maybe you want to go on a big hiking trip. Or you love yoga, but maybe you'd like to go on a yoga retreat. Maybe you'd like to do more of what brings you joy today. And then at the same time, be open to more. It's interesting, when we are growing up or thinking about our careers, no one asks us, well, why don't you choose a path that brings you joy? It just didn't come into the working vocabulary. But it does belong in our vocabulary now at this life stage. And I think we have to know that renewment and retirement is a period of joy, again, if we make that happen. But I'm very optimistic. I think there's joy in every person's life. They have to find it.
And in season three, we reached across the pond to have a fascinating conversation with Anna Dixon. Anna's the CEO of the Center for Aging Better, and we had a lively discussion on her thoughts and advice on how we can all age better.
Well, at the Center for Aging Better, we've just completing some research looking at how aging is portrayed in different aspects of life. So how do the government and policymakers talk about it? How is it talked about on social media? What's the portrayal in advertising? And it's not surprising. In pretty much every domain of our life, aging is seen as something negative. You know, you only need to look in a magazine, all the anti-aging products. You know, this is something to be feared, to be fought off. Unless we change that sort of cultural milieu which surrounds us, it's going to be very, very difficult to have a much more positive approach. And indeed, I think there's a risk that we come up with the wrong sort of solutions if we have this fear that aging is such a bad thing. So we really must stop talking like that. As you say, we need a new narrative, perhaps that just sees aging as a journey, as something that's a natural process of time. You know, we, from the day we're born, we age one day at a time. It's the passing of time. It's nothing more or nothing less. And actually, a lot of how we live our life day to day, we can do things to make that a positive experience at every age and at every life stage.
And at the end of season three, we had an opportunity to talk with someone who wrote the book on successful aging. That's Daniel Levitin. He's an award-winning neuroscientist, musician, and best-selling author.
So I realize I'm preaching a somewhat elitist message, which is be conscientious, be curious. That's not available to everybody, nor is following healthy dietary practices. And in many cases, the impediment is education. In others, it's that you're working two jobs and all you can do is soak some beans overnight and throw on some rice. But there's a goal there, and that's what I aim to put out. Exercise, the most important thing is physical movement. Whether you're actually running and jogging and exercising and lifting weights isn't as important as simple bodily movement. And we've talked about sleep hygiene. It's important to know what good sleep practices are, even if you don't always follow them. And they include going to bed and waking up at the same time every day, avoiding alcohol within a couple of hours of sleep, sleeping in a darkened room, wearing earplugs if noise bothers you, avoiding sleeping pills because they actually lead to poor sleep quality in every case. And that's really the long and short of it. When you're 20 or 30, you can drink, you can pull an all-nighter, you can eat French fries 3 days in a row, you're not going to notice it. By the time you're 60, one night of interrupted sleep can impair your memory for 2 weeks because the primary function of sleep is to consolidate memories, as well as some cellular housekeeping that it does that you can't do while you're awake.
You'll find a link to the full conversations with all four experts in the show notes. Since we're all getting older, we hope you'll find this to be a useful playlist for advice and increasing your knowledge on successful aging. You can find all of our episodes on our website, retirementwisdom.com, and you can subscribe so you don't miss an episode anywhere you get your podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Thanks for listening, and look forward to some new episodes coming soon.